If you have your Bibles tonight, open your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, chapter 29. Proverbs, chapter 29. Proverbs 29. Let's all stand at our feet tonight in reverence and respect for the Word of God. Proverbs 29 and verse number 18. This is a popular passage of Scripture. There's probably not been a preacher around that hadn't used this text verse. But this is what the Lord's laid up on our heart tonight, and you just pray for us. The Bible says, where there is no, everybody say that next word with me, vision. Say it again, vision. One more time, vision. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Now, how many of you, just look up here real quick before we go on. How many of you have ever heard a preacher preach out this text, and that's as far as they got with the verse? We're all guilty of that. We all get up and say, well, the Bible says, well, there is no vision, the people perish. But if you'll continue on in Scripture, there's a next word that says, but. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Let's bow our heads tonight to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we bow in your presence right now. Lord, knowing that we're not even worthy of staying here tonight, but dear God, you called us years ago. And Lord, tonight I'm relying totally upon you. I'm asking you, dear God, to touch me one more time. I'm asking you, Lord, to give me that power from on high. I pray, God, that everybody that's on the sound of my voice that's came to the way of the Cross Baptist Church tonight has came in with an open heart and a receptive heart to the preaching of your word. I pray, dear God, tonight that each and every one of us have come this way, God, wanting something from you. God, we all stand in need of something here tonight. And I pray, dear God, that you'll just put your hand upon me and bless me one more time. For it's in your name we ask these things. Amen and amen. You can be seated. How many of you tonight have ever made a vow to God? Raise your hand. Raise them high. And lay them down. How many of you here tonight will be honest and say, Brother Mason, not only have I made a vow to God, I broke my vow to God. How many of you tonight came this way? I'm going to put you on the spot. You're in God's house, so don't even lie. If you can't be truthful, just keep your hand down. How many of you, before you left your house this evening, and you came to church tonight, before you left, in your spirit, you said, God, I need something tonight? Don't raise your hand if you didn't ask it. Let your hand down. The numbers were few. So many times we come to God's house for the same old routine. We come in Sunday morning, we come in Sunday night, we come Wednesday night, and simply leave dry. There's nobody, listen to me, there's nobody to blame for your spiritual condition, but you know who? You. So many times when we get in a certain state in our Christian life, the first thing that we want to do is what? We want to start passing the buck. If it hadn't been for this, if it hadn't been for that, I wouldn't be in the very shape that I'm in. Some of you tonight, you know what you've done in your Christian life? Some of you have probably got where I was at. Sometimes you can let your very circumstances in your own life rule and govern your own Christian walk with the Lord. The Bible said, where there is no vision. Did you realize the word vision here? Do you know what it means? It simply means a sight. It simply more or less means this, listen, a dream. Or it simply means this, or it means a revelation. Some of you can remember back to the day you got saved. And you know what you did when you came off your knees? You became a dreamer. There was things in your life that automatically you want to start doing for the Lord. I can remember after you first got saved, some of you, you can probably think back to the day you got saved. What did you do? You went to your preacher. What did you do? Preacher, what can I do? It didn't matter what it was. You was willing to do it. You know why you was willing to do it? Because when you got off your knees, you come off your knees with a vision. You had a dream. You wanted to do something for God. It didn't matter where God took you to. You was willing to do it. But it means a dream, a revelation, or an oracle. Where there is no vision, where there's people that don't have a dream or a vision, it says they do this. Listen, it says they perish. You know one of the greatest blessings that you can ever do as a Christian? Listen to me. How many of you at your home right now have a strong concordance at your house? You know what that ought to be? That ought to be the right next thing, right next to your Bible. When you open your Bible, it would be good for you to have a strong concordance right by your Bible. Because, you know why? Because when you start reading the Strong's definition of words in the Bible, when you start doing word studies, so many times we think this verse means this. Then when you go back in the Hebrew or the Greek and when you look at it, it can change the whole meaning of the verse. Do you realize I've preached on things before? And use that verse as a springboard, then once I started digging, I thought, oh, no. That ain't exactly what that verse meant. But you know what? You can't go back and redo it. You've just got to live with it then. So listen to what the word perish, where there is no vision, where there's a person that don't have no dream, don't have no revelation in his life or things to come. There was some of you tonight, you knew where you wanted to be in your Christian life, but it's not that way no more. This is what perish means. It simply means to avoid. Where there is no vision, the word perish also means avoid. Some of you tonight, when I get into the message, you're really going to wish that you could avoid this message tonight. Because you know what it's going to make you do? It's going to make you stop and take a long, hard look at yourself. Not only does it mean avoid, listen, remember what the verse said, where there is no vision, the people perish. You know what else that word perish means? Go back. Oh. When you lose your vision, you don't go forward. You start backing up. In other words, when you as a Christian, when you first got saved, you had that dream. You had that revelation in your life of where you wanted to be. But when you lose that vision, you start backing up. Things are not the same. Not only does it mean to back up, it means to, listen this, it simply means to uncover. People have lost their vision. Do not want you to uncover their sin. Now, when they're on fire for the Lord, you just couldn't preach it hard enough for them. I mean, you could just rear back and preach saying, thus saith the Lord, and that amen, sick you on, come on, preacher. But you let a person that starts losing their vision, not only will they start backing up, they'll quit going forward. You know what else that word perish means? It simply means to refuse. They will refuse to hear you. And you know what else it means? It means simply to make naked. There's nothing worse in the world when you're sitting on a church pew and the preacher's in tune with heaven. And it seemed like God has sent him a personal email straight to him. And that email was meant straight to you. And he's sitting back there not only are you ashamed that you've lost your vision? But when you look at yourself, you thought, boy, I'm actually backing up. I'm not actually going forward like I used to go. And you know where it'll make you feel? Do you realize tonight, if you were sitting there naked, do you know what it ought to make you feel like? Ashamed. Did you hear what I just said? God said, if you, where there is no vision, God said, if you lose your vision, you ought to be ashamed. You ought to be ashamed. Now listen to this. Now y'all know how much I love this church. I love this church with all my heart. Can we be truthful tonight? Now, I have a lot of history in this church. How many of you are sitting here tonight was members of Weather Cross Baptist Church when we was up in Old Sanctuary? Raise your hand. Okay, let them down. How many of you was not in the Old Sanctuary here at the Weather Cross? Raise your hand. Okay, let your hands down. Now, we're going to do that again. I want to get my point across real good tonight. How many of you was members in the Old Sanctuary? Raise your hand. Okay. Now, the ones that wasn't members up here, I want you to look around. Keep your hands up. All you ones that wasn't members in the Old Sanctuary, look around. Okay, let them down. Now, how many of you wasn't in the Old Sanctuary? Raise your hand. I want the old Way of the Cross Church members to take a look at that. Are you seeing that? You can let your hands down. You know what? I didn't take a head count on that. But I would say that's nearly even. Or the ones that wasn't in the Old Sanctuary, maybe more. There is something that has took place, I believe, between the Old Sanctuary and our New Sanctuary. Now listen to what I'm saying. When we was in our Old Sanctuary, we was excited because we couldn't get enough people. Our people were just packing in there. And the more the people came, the more excited we got. And you know what was different, I think? In the old church, we had a much greater vision. But then God blessed. And look what God's given us. Just look. You say, Brother Mason, what has happened? What has happened? Okay, I want you to listen to what I'm fixing to say. The Bible says where there is no vision, the person perishes. Did I quote that right? It said where there is no vision, the, say it with me, people. Say it again, people. This is this. Do you realize tonight that the ones of you that are sitting here that can be the very ones up in the old sanctuary, listen, when you got down here, you could have lost your vision. And you know what happens? The Bible says, well, there is no vision, the people perishes. You know what that means? That means one person can lose their vision and it can affect everybody around you. Some of you may think, boy, I remember how brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so used to be in the old sanctuary. But they sure have changed since we've got to the new church. What has happened along the way with us? Have we lost our vision? So many times, you know what people do? I want you to listen to what I'm saying. So many times people will lose their own visions that they don't want to look at themselves. They don't want to be uncovered. They refuse to see that it's them. And they're dying. And you know what they usually do? They'll start pointing the finger at this one right here. This right here is the problem with the Way of the Cross Baptist Church. Is it? Or is it you? It's so easy to pass the buck. It's so easy to look in somebody else's front yard instead of looking in your own. It's so, you know what's wrong with people? You say, Brother Mason, why have we lost people? You know why? You know why we've lost people here at Waylor Cross Baptist Church? It's because people refuse to look at their own vision. You know, instead of correcting their vision and getting where God will want them to be, you know what they did? I believe it's God's will that I believe I go to another church. Instead of correcting the problem spiritually, they deal with it another way. Let's go join a bigger church. Let's go fit into where they can't see us when we come in. See, the thing about a small church, there is some disadvantages because you are counted on. And we see your face when it comes in. And when you're not here, you are missed. Some of you tonight are probably sitting back there, got discouraged because maybe some people left because they lost their vision and they didn't handle their vision right. And you're sitting back there where there is no vision, the people perish. You let their own vision by them getting discouraged and not making things right between them and God, you've let them affect you. And some of you are probably sitting back there and I'm, well, I know brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so. Boy, they was good people here at the church. Why did they leave? Why did this family leave or that family leave? You know what I believe it is? They lost their vision. Just because you don't want to work, just because you're really just spiritually dead, don't mean it's time for you to get up and run. I've always said this, when conviction hits, you run in, you don't run out. You do something about your problem. But so many people, they act like they sit back there. Do you realize tonight that some of you could have went up this very choir tonight, you can raise your hand. And you can go back in there and listen to me. And I know people like this. They're as faithful as clockwork, but spiritually dead. Spiritually dead. But if you was to talk to them, they're okay. Everything's all right between me and the Lord. But when you look at them, the worst place that you could ever get in your Christian life is when you start thinking about how you used to be. Or how you used to look at things. Some of you used to look at the way you did things different. Some of you used to look at your church different. But things are looking so totally different to you. Do you realize the similarities between physical death and spiritual death? There's so much of the same characteristics between them, that's not even funny. Do you realize I'd rather much be physically dead than spiritually dead? You say, why, preacher? Because when you physically die, you've already made your choice. You've already made your choice in life, what you're going to do, whether you're going to accept Jesus, how faithful you're going to be. You've already made your decision. But while you're still alive, you still got a choice. And you can do something about it tonight. Do you realize tonight if there's somebody tonight that's laying on their deathbed, laying on their deathbed right now, could you imagine if you could walk up to them and say, I've got the remedy. I've got the medicine that's going to get you out of this bed and get you going, get you back up on your feet. And I mean, you're going to live for 20 more years. Do you think that person would say, I think I'm going to pass. I think I'm just going to sit here and just die. Do you know what that person would say? Do whatever it takes. I want to live. If we was to take you as a church member tonight, and we was to go to heaven and bring out a heavenly monitor from heaven, and we was to hook each and every one of the each and every one of you up to a spiritual monitor and check your vital signs spiritually, what would it read? Do you realize when somebody's fixing to die, they've got this machine hooked up to them, and they're monitoring them. They're seeing how close, what they may need here, what they're lacking here. Here's the problem. We need to help them with this. They're doing something, making sure whatever's wrong with them, maybe so they can help them. They're checking their vital signs. I want to preach on tonight just for a few minutes on this thought. What are your vital signs? What are your vital signs tonight? If I was to hook you up to a monitor, a heavenly monitor, and check you as an individual, as a Christian, and check you as a Way of the Cross Baptist Church church member, what would the printout say about you tonight? See, the similarities between physical death and spiritual death are so, they walk hand in hand so close. I want to give you some characteristics on how close physical death and spiritual death walk hand in hand. The first thing, and I did a poll on this too, I went around to the nursing homes when I go on death calls, and I would ask them some questions. I'd say, when a person's fixing to die, tell me what takes place. And all these nurses would tell me different things. And God started speaking to my heart. And I thought, that is so much how we are spiritually, and we think we're alive when we're actually about to die. The first thing that takes place physically on anybody that's fixing to die and leave this world, you know what the first thing that usually takes place? Number one, their breathing will become shallow. Their breathing will become shallow. For instance, about a month ago, had hospice call us at the funeral home. They said, we have a patient here that's fixing to die. Well, there was something in that person's life, not only was they laying in the bed, but there was something, some of their vital signs that was telling them this person's fixing to die. What is it? They said this person is getting their breath. It's taking every 25 seconds to get their next breath. Now, you think about that. Some of you couldn't hold your breath for 25 seconds. But they said every 25 seconds, she gets another breath. You know that's kind of the way it is in our Christian life. You see some people, they're living for the Lord. They're doing what they can for the Lord. And I mean, they're breathing all hearty and heavy. They're ready to go for the Lord. Then you look at some of you tonight, and you look like you're spiritually suffocating. I mean, you're just about to turn blue. And it's simply because you don't want to acknowledge where you're at. I'll never forget. When I lived down in Villanelle, Georgia, I was going through a rough, rough time in my ministry. A rough time. Rough time. How many of you, I know I was going to ask you to raise your hand, but I want to ask you this question. How many of you have ever gotten your Christian walk, or maybe in your ministry, that you just felt empty? Drained. Like you couldn't take another step with the Lord physically. I mean, you was totally drained. I went out in the yard that night. I always went out in the yard of a night. I'd go out at 11 o'clock and 12 o'clock at night. And I did what the Bible said Abraham did. The Bible said Abraham would just go and stand before the Lord. I'd walk out in that yard, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock at night, and I'd just stand there. And it was just so, you can believe this if you want to, my hand before God, I'll give an account of it one day, and I know I'm telling the truth. I was standing there that night just to praying to God, just standing, just praying. And I said, Lord, I feel so shallow inside. Still preaching on the radio, still going to church, that I'd empty. And I said, Lord, I said, I need you. The Bible said one time that Jesus breathed upon them. And he said, be filled with the Spirit. Now, that's not talking about speaking in tongues or nothing like that. The day you get saved, that's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But as you graduate in your Christian life, in your daily walk with the Lord, there is a feeling that you will need spiritually. The Bible says, those that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. Be not drunk with wine, wherein in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. I was standing there in that yard that night, and I said, Lord, I'm so empty, and I'm so shallow. I said, God, would you breathe upon me one more time? My hand on my Bible. It was still out there, Brother Roger. And where I was standing, this to my right was nothing but woods. And there wasn't nothing rustling. And I was standing there, and all of a sudden, I heard the leaves start rustling. And all of a sudden, I felt a breeze from another world. It come down through there. It was headed for one person. It was headed for that old fat preacher down there in Dillon, Georgia. They said, God, I'm empty. I'm preaching. I'm on the radio. I'm doing everything I can, but I'm empty. And I felt that breeze come down from heaven and come through them trees. And it went right down through the rafters of my soul. And you know what I did? I was just like Moses. I just had to take my shoes off. I said, I'm standing on holy ground here. I fell on my face and said, God, I know you're here. And you know what my hand before God? I got off my knees. God gave me a new feeling. God energized my soul again. And it was like God breathed into me a new life again. Said, boy, get up. Get up. You've been down too long. I'll breathe upon you one more time. You say, Brother Mason, is that the last time? No, there's several times that I've had to say, God, breathe up on me again. Not only would the breathing become shallow, but you know what else takes place when somebody that's fixing to die? Their heart will start slowing down. Can you remember when God changed your heart? God gave you a new heart. This is what the Bible says. It said, my heart paineth. My strength faileth me for the light of my eyes. It is also gone from me. Ain't it funny how we simply don't like to look at the state we're in? We don't. But let's look at one person here. I look at this gentleman over here, and I find him in the book of John. I see him there. I thought, what's he doing over there? And the closer I get to him, I see the Lord Jesus. Then I see somebody, the Bible says, is laying right there on his bosom. In other words, you know what he was doing? I believe he was getting as close to God as he could to hear the very heartbeat of God. So listen to me. Some of you used to walk so close to God that you could hear the very heartbeat of God. When it comes to the things of God, you know what would usually take place? Your adrenaline would start flowing. Your heart would start racing. You just couldn't wait to do the things of God. You just got excited. But now things have changed. You've lost your vision. You're acting like you're okay. You're acting like the church is okay. You sit back there and you act like you want away, but deep down inside, you know you're spiritually dying. Some of you are this far from being spiritually dead. Not only does the breathing get shallow, not only does the heart slow down, but you know what else takes place when somebody's fixing to die and you can relate it with spiritual death? They become weak. You let somebody on their deathbed, it's dying. They become weak. They can no longer fend for themselves. They got to have somebody. Do you realize when you get so weak spiritually, you know what happens? You cannot help nobody else. It's hard to give advice when you're spiritually weak. It's hard to give spiritual advice when you seem like you're not on the mountaintop. Do you realize when you become spiritually weak, when you get down on your spiritual deathbed, do you realize when you become weak, do you realize that you're more enticed to chase after the things of this world? A difference between when you're weak in the Lord and you're strong in the Lord. When you're strong in the Lord, you stand on your Bible convictions. This is wrong. Thus saith the Lord. But you start spiritually dying. You start backing up. That old flesh will start creeping up on you. All of a sudden, at one time when you was walking for the Lord and you had a vision, the old devil could stick his head out, and buddy, you'd quote the scripture at him and you'd put him on the road. But some of you have become so spiritually weak and you're on your spiritual deathbed right now and you're so weak spiritually you can think back. Think about it. Some of you, uncover it. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. Some of you tonight can think about it. Spiritually, you become weak. Your convictions are no longer Bible convictions anymore. You've let human reasoning override godly convictions. And it's killing you. You can think about things you used to know was wrong and easy. Wait till you start getting weak. All of a sudden you'll think, well, that's not as bad as I thought it was. Maybe I can do this or maybe I can do that. Do you remember when you're strong in the Lord spiritually? You said, I ain't going to do that. Because the Bible said to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. The Bible said, for whatsoever you do, whether you eat or drink, whatsoever you do, do all for the glory of God. You stood on them Bible convictions. That's when you're strong in the Lord. But now you're spiritually weak and you're on your spiritual deathbed and you've got no convictions to yourself, none whatsoever, and you're spiritually dying, but you think you're okay. Think about it. Not only do they become weak when somebody's fixing to die, but you know what else starts happening? Their hearing goes on them. Their hearing goes on them. You find somebody that's walking with the Lord and spiritually strong in the Lord and God's breathing after the rapture of their soul and God can speak and you say, I hear you, Lord. But you let somebody start getting away from God, getting away spiritually, the Bible says this. The Bible says, my sheep shall know my voice. When I'm living for the Lord and I'm sold out 110%, I have not. Have to second guess it one time, Brother Roger, when the Lord speaks to me. Not one time. I never get confused about it. But you let me start getting spiritually weak in the Lord, to where my hearing's not tuned in with heaven, and where my hearing ain't tuned in with God when He speaks, all of a sudden the devil slip his voice in there. Then all of a sudden I get confused on who is that speaking to me. Some of you, all of us, have got ourselves in situations if we'd only been where we ought to be and where we need to be. When God spoke, we said, I hear you, Lord. But now some of you have, you're sitting back here on a pew. And you're sitting there and you do your routine at church every Sunday, Sunday morning, Sunday night. You're here. You'll go up here and you'll go to the choir. You'll go to your Sunday school class. And I know how it is to be a pastor. I bet Brother Bobby feels this way sometimes. He wants to look at his flock and say this. Before I say it, let me say this. Have you ever seen somebody on their deathbed physically? They'll go up to them and they'll get right down in their ear. And they'll say, if you can hear me, just wink your eyes. Wiggle your toes. Wiggle your fingers. Give me some indication that you can hear me. I bet Brother Bobby wants to look at y'all sometime and say, wiggle your toes, blink your eyes, do something. Let me know that you hear me. But all we do, we just sit there with a frown on our face. And we act like everything's all right between us and God, and we're on our spiritual deathbed and don't even realize it. Not only will their hearing go, but he said, as for the light of my eyes, it is also gone from me. You ever seen somebody that's physically fixing to die? You ever notice their eyes? Changes, don't it, James? It becomes glassy. Becomes cloudy. While they was alive, vigorous and going, you can look in their eyes and see your reflection. But you take it another way. You take it spiritually. You take somebody that one time walked with God, you believe what you want to. When Moses come off that mountain, when he come off that mountain, the Bible said he had a glow about himself. He had a glow about himself. They knew what they knew. He'd been with God. So you listen to me. Listen to me. This is my granddaddy sitting right here. And to me, that right there, that's my hero. That is my hero right there. And not just because he's my granddaddy, but I can walk right over here and I can shake his hand. And I can look in his eyes. He knows, Brother Johnny. He knows. Let me walk over here, Brother John. Have you ever noticed how jolly Brother Johnny is? Look at Brother Johnny's eyes.
Amen, brother. Amen.
Can't you see? Can't you see it in his eyes? But you know what? Let me kind of give you a look at some of you who are looking at me right now. Let me get over where you look at me. It's how you're looking at me.
Yeah, man.
That glimmer's gone. Oh, every now and then you let somebody be on their deathbed and let them just with their eyes a little bit. It gives them a little hope. I'm sure Uncle Bobby's up here sometimes. Not only is he saying, I wonder if they're hearing me, but every now and then you may blink your eyes and he goes, maybe I got through a little bit there. Maybe I did. Maybe there's hope after all. See, the thing about this, folks, listen, Brother Mason. Just because you show a glimmer every now and then don't make everything's all right between you and the Lord. Do you realize that you can be sitting back there on that pew and you can get emotionally stirred up and God not being 10 million miles of it?
Yes.
You hear what I just said? You can watch the choir sing and you can get stirred up in emotion and God not even be in it. Your emotions take place. But I guarantee you let somebody with a glimmer in their eye and they can see that. Listen, do you realize when you're walking for the Lord, God could, the Bible says, thy word is a lamp into my feet. And what's it say?
A light
into my path. Turned all these lights off, and if it got pitch dark in here, and I turned them back on all of a sudden, what would you do? You'd try to get your eyes focused, wouldn't you? Some of you right now, you just kind of in between there. Only thing you see is a little bit of dark and a little bit of light. God, if God said, this is the way I want you to go, you don't want to see things clearly no more. You can't even hear the voice of God anymore.
Yeah.
You're so confused anymore, you don't know where you're coming or where you're going.
Yeah.
Not only will their sight go, the next thing will take place will be there'll be no movement. No movement. I ain't never went in no nursing home. You, Brother James? Seen somebody dying or hooked up on the IVs and have a vital, has on their vital signs on a monitor and them up running around the room, have you? Anybody that's dying would just lay there. You know what they're doing? Waiting to die. You know what some of you are doing? You're on your spiritual deathbed right now. You got discouraged here at the church. You might have seen people come and go. And you've let the other vision of somebody else affect your own vision. Remember what I'm saying? And you've lost it. You've lost it. And now all you do is just sit there and don't move. Let me hurry on. You know what the next thing that takes place when there's no movement when somebody's dying? You can go to somebody that's dying and they're just laying there, glassy-eyed. And if they heard you, that you wouldn't know it. You can rub that old skin and you think, what if they feel me? You know what I believe? I believe you start losing your feeling. You start losing your feeling. Past feeling. In other words, spiritually numb. Is this the same piece of wood in Ichabod that we had at No Church, the same cross? Or is that a different piece of wood? Same piece of wood. Let me see this right here. How are your hands? Let's see here. 15, 17 years ago. In the old sanctuary, you could have walked up to this cross and you could have started reading names. And you know what it would have said? Mason Holiday. Now, I'm fixing to give you an example that I'm not proud of. Not proud of at all. But if in the old sanctuary where my name was on that cross, I had family members that used to stand up, pray for Mason. They're not here now, are they, pal? You know what happened? They lost their vision. They lost their vision. You know, I thought about that. And I thought, you know, when that was up at the old church, you could not keep people out from running that thing. constantly they was around that cross praying. How many of you sitting here tonight have somebody's name upon that cross? Raise your hand. Can I ask you something? Are you really concerned about that? Because you know, I've been here a few times, you know. You hear what I just said? I've been here a few times. Things are not the same as it used to be in the old sanctuary. We used to pull names off that cross left and right. And you know what happened? It showed in the sanctuary. It showed. People still had feeling. People was moving. You know, people used to just go to the altar after a preacher preached. It didn't matter if the message, they thought that message for them. They'd go to the altar just because they needed to pray. But now we're just so spiritually dead, we just sit back there and say, well, that message wasn't for me this morning. Ain't no use in me going. Let me ask you something. Does it bother you that nobody came? Does it not bother you? If I started naming street signs around here, just started naming streets, would you know their name? Which one of these roads out here beside Weather Cross Baptist Church, on the back, down the road, which one has this pew? Which one of you guys have already assigned that road to hell? Which one of you already said, that's my road, that family, that whole community can die and go to hell? But we'll sit down here at Weather Cross and say, we're okay. Look back in there. And we say, we're okay. But look, we're not okay. Brother John, we're not okay. I'm going to give you one more thing. Brother Bobby knows this. James knows this. When you're in the funeral business, there's things you didn't know that after you get in the business and things like this happen. Some of you think you're sitting there tonight thinking, I'm okay. Do you realize? Yeah, and that's James here. James will answer the truth that way and he'll know I'm not lying. James, if we ever went out on a death call and we went to pick up body, that body, an hour later, maybe still be warm. If you walked into that room and you was to touch them, you'd think, well, they're still alive. They're warm. But when you looked at them real close, they ain't breathing. Wait, I don't hear no heartbeat. There's no movement in their eyes. They're just laying there. They're not doing nothing. Then it clicks. They're dead. Can I ask you a question? How many of you love this church? How many of you love it? How many of you care, really care about your Christian walk with the Lord? If you really care, you know what? I believe we may be warm, but our vital signs are showing we're just about dead. This church means so much to me. There's not another church I want to go to. As far as I'm concerned, this right here is my pastor. But you know what? I guarantee you sitting here in this congregation tonight, there's some of you probably thinking, oh, I believe old Brother Bobby probably go ahead and resign. He'd been there 20 years. It's about time him going down the road. Huh? Like my granddaddy said, his phone ain't ringing. You ain't got an answer. Oh, it's amazing some looks I got on that one. How many of you have ever, like, thinking, how many of you here has ever pastored a church? Raise your hand. I don't have to go raise your hand. Raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Did I miss anybody? 5. Brother Harlow, these other people don't know how it feels to pastor, do they? Bible, do you think these other people don't know how it feels to pastor a church? Did anybody ever try to pass the buck to you when you was doing all you could do? Do you realize? My granddaddy gave me some of the greatest advice when I was pastoring. He said, son, he said, the greatest harm that you can do to your church is this right here. He said, if you get down, discouraged, feel like your back's to the wall, he said, when you enter that pulpit, he said, you smile like everything's all right. He said, your home may be caving in. Your world may be crashing in. He said, but if you get discouraged, the flock will see you and it'll rub off on the flock.